Hi, everyone, and welcome to the NovaCare Complex, our Xfinity studio. Dave Spadaro, Adam Kaplan, it's Eagles Live on this Tuesday here in South Philadelphia. A lot to get to as the Eagles take a little look ahead here at the Carolina Panthers. 3 wins, 7 losses. Adam Kaplan, you've had a couple of days to digest that whooping in Washington, or actually Landover, Maryland.
Yeah.
You know, how does your opinion change of the way things went, or your perspective change? In other words, how in the heck did it happen?
This game, Dave, in particular, is one of those games where it's not so much what the other team did, it's what the Eagles didn't do. Opportunities were there. There were some plays in the passing game that I thought would be could have been made after watching the TV tape. The coaching tape was not available this morning. But I think in general, I thought there were plenty of opportunities which they didn't take advantage of. I thought there were some good things on defense especially.
Earl, yeah, for the first half, for
sure. Run defense was terrific, and I thought the game plan was great to get the ends to crash in. They didn't play the 9 technique as much as they played more of the 6, which was smart. And that's why Alfred Morris was a non-factor until later in the game. And then, you know, it's going to happen eventually. Robert Griffin III is going to make some plays, which he did. But despite the 2 big plays, they still only give 200 yards.
Your view, then, of this team, Andy Reid is remaining, vowing, fighting, hoping the players follow suit. Will they? Will this team fight? I mean, look, we've been around a long time in the NFL here, Adam. And when you get to 3-7, and...
You've been through this before,
and,
have you not?
And, you know, it is a battle to keep the players... You really find out who wants to be here next year, who doesn't. That's the way I look at it. I mean, Monday night, it is a nationally televised game. It is an audition for every player, every team, every friend, every fan, everybody
audition already.
In the league. Well, it is.
Okay.
Will the Eagles show up and play hard against a 2-8 Carolina Panthers team?
With Cam Newton coming to town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is another set of challenges for the defense.
And with the staff, a coaching staff at Carolina, doesn't know if they're going to be back next year. So it's there's some parallels here. There's no question about it. But that, again... Yet again, will be a winnable game, and Carolina is they're not playing real well right now. Their defense has improved somewhat. Offensively, they're very inconsistent, but getting back to the Eagles game, I thought when you look at the offense, I thought against Washington's defense, which we talked about last week on Eagles Live, there were going to be some plays to be made. And I thought Foles, at times, did not see the field clearly. Then at times... As we saw that Demaryius Johnson pass over the middle, which was fantastic. He got that ball out of there. He squared his shoulders up. Footwork was good. Where he struggled was when he moved without pressure, and that was a concern. So
we're gonna, in the next segment, we will take a look at every Nick Foles pass. So
right.
But we'll get into Foles.
But the defense, though,
kept him in the
game.
Okay, I don't want to talk about the Redskins game. It was an awful game.
You tell me what you want to talk about.
I'm not sure what I want to talk about. We got 6 weeks. No, I don't want to look too far ahead. I mean, I got
to look at the You want to look at Carolina?
No. No, because it's not really about Carolina anymore. It's about
offensive line.
Finding out about this. Well, the offensive line is just piecemeal. I mean,
yeah.
If they start Jake Scott again, Danny Watkins, is he healthy enough to play?
He's too bad.
Yeah, he only had 2 penalties, and I guess another one to 3 penalties.
The penalties were obviously because he had 3.
Yeah, that's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It's a practice.
I mean, I don't lower my expectations for a
team.
I understand. I look at an offense that scored a high of, 24 points this year? I mean, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to say, well, the Eagles played pretty well.
That's why we thought going into that game they'd do well, and they did.
I mean, my expectations, I'm not going to lower my expectations because, this
coaches
team.
Coaches don't. They go in expecting a great game.
Yeah.
They're not getting it.
They're not getting it right now. 215-339-6709. Hot topic question we want you to answer. I'd love you to stay away from the coach on this one because it's just such an obvious answer. But what is the Eagles' biggest need as you look at this football team? And I'd rather you just kind of say, hey, if we had this, we'd be a much better team. And not really next year I'm talking about. I'm talking about...
To get a win this week.
Well, just to kind of just, if you could just...
Get things going the right way?
Well, when you look at the team, when you look at the players on the field, what is glaringly bad about this team? I think obviously offensive line, but there's got to be more. Maybe people want a big wide receiver. Maybe people want another pass rusher. Maybe people want a safety who's a Pro Bowl player. Maybe people want a shutdown cornerback.
Okay.
Send us a tweet with the hashtag Eagles Live, and we will get those answers up for you later in the show. Section 2, we're going to talk about Nick Foles. Section 1 right here, ESPN's Ron Jaworski holding a conference call just a few moments ago. Watched the coach's tape this morning. Had a different perspective on Nick Foles than he did watching the game live on Sunday. Let's go to the conference call with ESPN's Ron Jaworski.
I was curious if you've had a chance to look at the tape yet of Nick Foles' start.
Yes, I did.
And I realized that, you know, it's kind of a lost season in Philadelphia this year. But if you had to say which quarterback gives the Eagles their best chance to win down the stretch, who would be your pick?
And by the way, I just got done looking at that game, and it was interesting because in watching the game on TV, I thought Nick played a little fast and a little bit frenetic. But after looking at the tape, I thought for the most part, you know, he was under control. There were a few times I thought he got a little quick in the pocket with his feet, and hey, that's going to happen not only with a rookie in his first start, but with any quarterback. But I think overall, you know, when I look at the tape, I look at a quarterback's feet first, particularly the young guys, because if their feet are skittish and they're flying around, that means that's how they're thinking. If they're calm and collected with their footwork, they're usually calm and collected, you know, the way they're playing the game in their mind. And I thought for the most part, you know, he was very, very good in the game. Now, he made some mistakes. There were times they didn't give him some help. I just don't think you can ask a young quarterback to drop back, you know, 51 times in the game and expect great results against a very complex and sophisticated Jim Haslett defense, who got after him pretty good, by the way. But I think if you ask me the question down the road, it's going to be interesting because I don't know what style of offense, if there is a coaching change, and, you know, it appears to be the way things go in Philly right now that, the thing's probably going to be blown up and it's going to go in a new direction. And the first thing you look at, do you have a young quarterback, you know, that a coaching staff can evaluate and say, this could be our starter for the next 10 years. It'll be interesting how it plays out the next couple of weeks. If Michael Vick is cleared to play, does he, you know, Andy always says, you know, that he's going to be my quarterback when he's healthy. But I think, you know, with Nick Foles, he has shown through the preseason, and I watched him very closely in the preseason, out of training camp. He's a big, strong arm thrower that mechanically is very sound. I think he will be a starter in the NFL and a good one. But I think it's going to be up to a coach and determine, you know, does he still want to have him sit a little bit and play behind a Michael Vick or a veteran, or is he say, hey, this guy's like Andrew Luck and, you know, Russell Wilson, and let's get him out there and let him play.
Good stuff. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you.
Great. We're going to bat a jan off with Tom Krasovic, San Diego Union Tribune on deck.
Hey, Ron. Thanks for your time and happy Thanksgiving.
Barry.
Given, you know, from your experience in playing and you know, watching the games now, is there more pressure being put on young quarterbacks like Cam Newton and Andrew Luck to perform right away? And are we counting them out too soon if they don't? Or have you seen that, you know, throughout your, you know, your playing and your career as an analyst?
Yeah, you know, I think there's always pressure on the quarterback. I don't care if you're you know, a guy that's been around, you know, 15 years like Peyton Manning, or if you're a rookie like Cam Newton. I think there's always that pressure on that position to perform. Now, that being said, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I am absolutely blown away by quarterback play of these rookies this year. And, you know, with Nick Foles starting this past week, I think that is now six, you know, rookies that we have starting, probably the most in the history of the NFL. I know five was, so I would think probably six is. And these guys are so much more prepared to play in the NFL. I just can't believe it. You know, I mentioned RG3 a little while ago. This guy has played 10 games, and he's played very consistent quarterback. There are many veterans in this league that don't give you consistent quarterbacking week in and week out, and here's a rookie doing it. You're watching the growth of Andrew Luck, Whedon, Wilson, Tannehill, and now Foles. These guys guys, I can remember, you know, I was happy to get out of the huddle in 30 seconds, let alone go out there and execute the offense the way these guys are. And I think it's really a tribute to the way these guys are being coached, not only at the NFL level, but also what's happening at the college level. You know, they're throwing the football more. They're reading defenses more. And then you look at what they're doing in high school now with these summer camps, the 7-on-7, all those things. These players now are mature beyond years. They've thrown more passes. They've read more coverage. So it probably shouldn't be as surprising as it is that they've come to the NFL and played very well.
All right, so there you go. That is Ron Jaworski, Adam, and had some nice things to say about the way Nick Foles played. We will go through each of the 46 dropbacks, actually 50, including sacks. Said that his feet were not rushed, although at times there was some rush, under a lot of pressure, obviously. Your reaction, just real quick, to that. And then the idea that, is it Nick Foles or Michael Vick down the stretch if you're the coach?
What I thought was interesting is Jaws said, and it's obvious he watched the coaching tape, because when you watch the TV tape, you can't see what he was talking about, and that was when I saw it, I thought there were some throws that he rushed, and his footwork got sort of, he wasn't straight like he needed to be. But you see, I love, first of all, he checks at the line very well. He has command of the offense, at least it looks like it, and he kind of knows where everybody is. It's just a matter of him getting squared up. When he gets squared up, the ball comes out, and it comes out really well. He was also under duress a lot, especially up the middle, because the Redskins blitzed through the A gap and B gaps all game. I mean, they really came after him, which you should do against a rookie quarterback. I thought Jim Haslett would do that. He did that. But the thing that, and it's there's no way to know this, I want to know why they weren't throwing the down the field more, was because he was under duress. They didn't feel like he was comfortable enough to throw the ball downfield. I mean, why didn't they do that?
Why did they just at the game? There were no open receivers.
Yeah. Really? Okay.
Nothing. It is just so obvious to me that all teams are doing is keeping safeties over the top, and they're just not letting DeSean Jackson go. So I mean, you got to attack him in different ways.
And the other thing is, teams are playing more man against the Eagles receivers because the Eagles receivers historically struggle to get off press. So I'm just wondering.
I don't think they pressed him on Sunday either.
They should have with route combinations gotten open. Yeah. I don't know. So
all right, well, we'll get into that at least from the quarterback perspective. 215-339-6700. Now let's take a phone call first. All right. Marcel in Atlanta joins us. Hey, Marcel.
Hey, Dave. How you doing, brother?
Well, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, same to you, man.
Yes, thank you.
To you.
What's on your mind?
And to everybody else back home in the Philadelphia area.
Thank you.
You know, we all woke up this morning, so hey, we got something
man.
To be thankful for.
You got that right. You got that right.
I wanted to say that, you know, we have the Monday night game coming up.
Yes, we do.
And the last time we played on a Monday night, we were embarrassed before the entire nation. We had everybody's attention.
Yeah.
And I do think that given the record that we have right now, you know, there is nothing that you, Ron Jaworski, Adam, I don't think that no one has said anything that the team hasn't already thought to themselves. So we're not going to say anything new in terms of what they are.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I mean, I've said everything I can possibly say about the team. I've drained every bit of optimism I can out of this body of mine, this mind of mine. I'm still going to be optimistic. There's going to be a turnaround. I mean, Marcel and Eagles fans, just understand this. Every team goes through a down period, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The good franchises bounce back from that down period quickly. And we're going to find out about the Eagles and how they bounce back from this down period, whether it's this year, whether it's next year, whether it's 3 years down the line. This is the test of the football operations here. I mean, when the Giants go down, they come back up. When the Steelers go down, they come back up quickly. When the Cleveland Browns go down, they stay down for a long time. When the Detroit Lions go down, they generally stay down for a long time. It's hard.
Well, the optimism for me is that the good thing for me when it comes to the Eagles is that we're not lacking in talent. It's not like we don't have good receivers. We don't have good corners, or we don't have a good front seven. They're good. Whether they're being utilized correctly is something that only a coach can answer. I'm not good enough for that.
And that's honestly the chicken or the egg theory, because you'll have – I've been through this. And in 1998, it was the coaches saying, we don't have the talent. And it was the personnel people saying, the coaches aren't using the talent correctly. And that's the way it works when you don't win. There's infighting. They're bicker. Yeah. And that's
I've seen it. I've heard it.
Yeah, yeah. And so hopefully that won't happen here. But, look, I mean, that's human nature. Look, the pass rush, they had 50 sacks last year. This is not even close. It's not going to be clear. All of a sudden, the defense got bad. The players got bad.
What I've been saying.
All of a sudden, the scheme got bad. I mean, I can't even tell you why they don't get sacks right now. I can't tell you that.
Yeah, because when you do all the theory talk and everything, you know, the one thing you have to you can't put into the equation is, like you said, the personnel was still here.
Yeah.
So, what's going on? Is it, you know, are we? And I hate to throw it out there, but we do. It needs to be said. Are we snake bitten?
No, not when you're 3-7. You're just a bad football team at this point. I mean,
there you go. And so
you don't lose to a Washington Redskins team like that, Marcel.
What do you feel like? Dave? Because again, your boots on the ground, right there. What is it that the players are thinking? I mean, you know, are the players they still like? I heard Cullen Jenkins said something like he feels like you've stuck in the same day every day.
Well, I don't know that. I'm sure the players are feeling very frustrated. Mm-hmm. Quite honestly. It bothers me that a player would say, we're giving it all we can for Andy Reid. We love Andy Reid. We're giving him everything we have. And then you go get trampled 31-6. Hard for me to buy that. Players care about, ultimately, look, you know, I've had fans ask me this question many times. Boy, do the players hate Dallas as much as we do? No. The players ultimately care about keeping their jobs and feeding their families, and they don't care what uniform they're in. That's ultimately the case. Now, you have some exceptions to that players who are in one place for a very long time and become part of the fabric of that community. But by and large, at this point, I would hope that the players are scared, that the players are on edge, and that the players have some urgency, because they sure as heck haven't shown a lot of urgency on the football field this year, to be quite honest with you. I realize I just haven't seen it. I just haven't seen it. And the thing that's most disappointing that I can't figure out, Adam, Marcel, everyone, when something goes bad, this team does not turn it around.
They don't respond.
They sure did first four games of the year.
Yes, not lately.
And then all of a sudden, it's just poof, it's gone. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, that's not true. 1994, 7-2, Rich Kotite Eagles lose 9 straight games, go 7-9. Hmm. So I can't explain.
Therefore, to me, you're just taking – it's not – well, I'm not going to say it's not completely the coach's fault. Oh. You know, but in that aspect, if it's a mental thing, then it's definitely on the players.
Well, I blame everyone. I mean, Andy's the one standing up, taking the responsibility and being the man and being the leader and being the face and being the target and being the bad guy for everyone, taking all the heat. That's what leaders do. He's a great leader. But the truth is, it's every player, it's every coach, it's every personnel decision they've made. It's everything. It's everything. You don't get to 3-7.
Also, when you think about what they put out there in the press in terms of, well, you know, there was a players meeting only, a players only meeting.
Yeah.
You know, and what came out of that? A shellacking at the hands of the Saints, at the hands of the Redskins, at the hands of the Cowboys. What was discussed in that players only meeting?
Yeah.
Players only meetings don't carry a lot of weight unless you look. What? Thanks for the call, Marcel. So what happens is, if you win, you get confidence. If you lose, you start pointing fingers. I mean, it's just
you find excuses, right?
Yeah. It's like in the middle of a game. That's why if somehow the Eagles could hit a 14-0 lead in a game, I just think that there would be a different story with this football. I think they'd play with some confidence. They play like they expect something bad to happen. Because so many times early in games, bad things have happened.
But I also hear there's still some of that, hey, we know we're better than this.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I heard this last year. That's got to stop. You are what your record says you are. You're 3-7. You got smoked by a bad football team last week. This should bother you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that, you know, if we were players, I would come in and I'd be so mad watching that tape. So many plays that were there to be made, they didn't make the play, so... they got shellacked, and they play another bad team this week at home on Monday night. You better have some pride. You don't want to get smoked at home on national TV.
Yeah, agreed. Hey, Robert in Pennsylvania joins us. Hey, Robert.
Adam. Hey, Dave, how you going?
All right. Hey, give us a prediction for the game at some point during this phone call. Marcel, I apologize. I didn't get one, so call back later in the week. Robert, what's up?
Not too much. I mean, I've been doing a lot of thinking about, you know, the Eagles and what's wrong with this team. I mean, basically, I think that two things basically brought, you know, this situation we have now.
Okay.
The first, I think Ike Reese made this point a couple of weeks ago, but he said, you know, when Andy got to Philadelphia, you know, over a decade ago, he brought his plan, his people to the team. You know, Jim Johnson, the Spagnuolos, you know, all these guys, Lily Frazier, they've all gone on and moved on from Andy's staff. And I think it's hard to replace, you know, all these quality coaches.
I can't disagree. I do not disagree with that.
Childress, Shermer, the list goes on and on and on. Yeah. There's some great assistants here.
All of that continuity and that trust. I mean, look at even Bill Belichick in New England. I mean, he hasn't won a Super Bowl since 2004. I mean, he's gone back to the Super Bowl twice, but I think even him, it affects him because he's losing coordinators left and right. Every year he's losing someone with that. I have to think that. That puts a lot of stress on the head coach in terms of consistency and continuity.
I agree. I agree. I think that's part of it.
Right. And I think the second part of this that we have now is that in 2009, we went towards this youth movement, and we started pretty much cutting all these guys who were, you know, above 30. And I think at one point we were the most youngest team in the league. I think right now we're the second youngest team still.
It changes every day. But, yeah, a young team.
Right. And we went into 2009 with Kevin Kolb. And I think that we were a young team that was kind of trying to rebuild then. And all of a sudden, Kevin Kolb goes down, and then Michael Vick comes in, and we get into this win-now, you know, mentality because, I mean, we had this great...
Robert, it's a great theory. And then at that point, you stop the... You know, you don't stop the youth movement. But the Eagles have not been productive in their drafts 2010, 2011.
Right.
They then sign a bunch of veteran free agents, and history suggests, guys, that it just doesn't work.
You fill in a little draft,
but you're right. They stopped.
You supplement for free agents.
At the end of 2008, that's when the team could have collectively gone down to build back up. But then in 2010, they win the division. They're like, okay, we're only a couple pieces away here. Let's go for it again.
Exactly.
And they go for it with the free agency last year, and it just didn't work last year. And then whatever has happened this year, I can't explain it, but here we are.
There are a lot of theories out there.
Both starting corners were free agents, but they weren't from the Eagles. They weren't drafted. Middle linebacker, not a drafted player. Starting quarterback, not drafted.
Hey, the cornerbacks, they drafted one cornerback from 2006 to now, or to the period of time. I was researching this the other day. It may have been Jack Ikeguanu. Team has let's look at the draft, Adam. Well,
we know that they drafted Marsh.
Yeah, that was last year. Okay. I'm saying until that point.
Oh, until 06?
It was like from some crazy.
Huh.
Let me take a look. Here. Yeah. From hang on there, Robert. Hey, Robert, give me a prediction if you would, please.
Okay. I'm gonna go.
Lindley.
I'm gonna go Eagles 21 to Carolina 17. I still believe.
You're the man. Thanks, Robert. All right, so wait, let's look at the cornerback draft. All right, so cornerbacks, let's start back in 2005, shall we?
Okay.
2005, there was not a cornerback drafted. 2006, let's see. 2006, not a cornerback drafted. 2007, Rashad Barksdale in the sixth round.
Okay, he didn't make it.
Nice guy, though, but didn't make it. You guys don't care if he's a nice guy. In 2008, Jack Ikeguanu in the fourth round.
Okay. Did not work.
Okay. 2009, no cornerback. 2010, that might have been Trevard Lindley.
Lindley was 11, wasn't it?
Well, maybe you're right. 2010, no cornerback. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Trevard Lindley was 2010.
What's he 10? Wow.
11 was Marsh. I mean, these are all at fourth. Marsh was a third-round pick. But third, fourth, fifth round for cornerbacks. All those linemen just really hasn't worked out that well.
No. I mean, Marsh is still sort of a project.
Very much so.
Yep. They haven't. Yeah, wow, boy. When's the last time they hit on a corner?
Now, out of this draft, I believe this. I believe Fletcher Cox will be a player. Mm-hmm. I believe Kendricks will be a player.
Yep.
I believe Foles will be a player.
Okay.
We'll see. Can't really say anything about anybody else. I don't know. Bryce Brown, I think, will be okay and a good player.
Boykin's playing, obviously,
but I don't think
lot,
he's playing particularly well.
I think he's got a lot of progress to make, but he's getting on the field training as we speak here. So
and Vinny Curry, we don't know.
Don't know yet.
So Dennis Kelly, we don't know. Developmental fifth round.
But it's been a great story. He's having to play.
But can he play?
It's too early, but at least he's getting experience.
I mean, last year's draft, Danny Watkins hurt. Jarrett gone. Curtis Marsh doesn't play. Casey Matthews, special teamer. Alex Henry, great pick. Deion Lewis doesn't play. Julian Vandervelde doesn't play. Jason Kelsey, excellent pick. Yeah. Brian Roll not here. Greg Lloyd not here. Stanley Havili, starter.
The 11 draft is not dreadful. They've gotten a couple guys who they've hit on, but not...
2010, is Nate Allen a good player?
Yeah. I think he's a good player, but I think he's been inconsistent.
Is this system not good for safeties? Do they have too much responsibility, the wide nine?
They do, because remember, as you know, we've talked about this. They've got to play the run because they've got to be that add-in defender in the C-gap, help against the run. And plus, they've got the coverage responsibilities. Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question. It's a lot mentally to handle that. Yeah. Nate Allen was not drafted to do that.
Yeah.
You know? Drafted to be a deep defender.
Right. Hey, the Eagles lost to the Washington Redskins on Sunday. You know that, 31-6. We have, as we do each week, our stock report. Our stock report begins with stock up. Running back Bryce Brown showing some speed to the outside, some vision and change of direction. Brown could be thrust into a more prominent role this week with LeSean McCoy hampered by a concussion. In his rookie season, Brown has shown enough to get you excited about his future. Good power, good speed, and vision, knocking off the rust from his inactive years in college. Brown, 5 rushes, 35 yards, a long of 14. Also handled the kickoff duties in Sunday's loss to the Redskins. Also stock up rookie first-round draft pick Fletcher Cox, the young defensive tackle, doing it again. 8 tackles, 1 sack, and a quarterback hit, as well as a tackle for loss. Riley Cooper, an expanded role on Sunday against the Redskins. 5 catches, 61 yards. And second-year place kicker Alex Henry has made his last 16 field goal attempts, including 2 field goals against the Redskins. The stock even. Well, Nick Foles didn't have a whole lot of opportunity to make big plays down the field, getting rid of the football quickly against the Redskins' blitz defense. He withstood 4 sacks, 2 early interceptions, and a lot of Washington heat. The Eagles scoring just 6 points in Foles' starting debut in the NFL. More to come for the third-round draft pick. Is he the quarterback of the future for the Eagles? The jury certainly is still out. 21 of 46, 204 yards, and 2 interceptions for Foles. Rookie linebacker Michael Kendrick, 7 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, but also missing on Robert Griffin III twice, taking bad angles against the fleet-footed quarterback. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, 1 pass breakup among his action on Sunday. And punter Matt McBryer, 5 punts, a 46.8-yard average. Stock down the pass defense, allowing Griffin III to complete 14 of 15 passes, 4 touchdowns, 2 of them to wide-open receivers early in the game. And this one, where was the defense? A wide-open touchdown for the Washington Redskins. The Eagles defense looking lost as rookie Robert Griffin III has a career day, 14 of 15, running wild as well over the Philadelphia Eagles. Ball security continues to be an issue. 4 fumbles, 1 lost, and 2 interceptions in the 31-6 defeat at FedEx Field. And then the offensive line reconfigured for the game. Jake Scott signed on Monday, starts at right guard the following Sunday, did not help the Eagles. Foles sacked 4 times, held to just 257 yards, and 4 penalties along with 2 others declined on the offensive line.
So, man, how's that Bud Light Port Paradise cruise?
Oh, man. First day. So later on, it's all swing, baby, swing, swing, baby. Then we hit the ship's deck. Next day, there's this private island concert. So what'd you guys do?
4 days, 3 nights, a 2-day music festival, and one legendary party, Bud Light Port Paradise. Here we go.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Can you feel that? Can you feel what's about to happen on this field, man? Respect is not given, it is earned, that dog. Whatever you got to do, let me get that. They don't know what I hard, man. They don't know what I hard. And everything, give me what you got. Domination, snot bubbles, crazy eyes, whatever. Let's dominate this thing. Hold in on three. 1, 2, 3, all in.
Hey, Eagles fans, this is Brian Dawkins, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hi, I'm Eagles safety Kirk Coleman. Fans in Pennsylvania can now drive the Eagles pride every day of the year with the new Eagles license plate. Each plate purchase helps the Eagles Youth Partnership support the kids in need throughout our region. Get yours today right here at PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hi, I'm Tammy Reed, and we are the Eagles Women's Association. In the Delaware Valley, there are more than 900,000 people at risk of food insecurity. You can help us fight hunger by joining us and the Philadelphia Eagles for our annual food drive benefiting Philabundance. This year's collection is scheduled for Monday, November 26th, when the Eagles take on the Carolina Panthers. Bring your non-perishable foods to the Panthers game and drop them in collection bins on your way into the stadium. If we all do our part, we can all make a difference in the fight against hunger.
It's time to take a look at Nick Foles in his starting debut in the NFL, an outcome that was not favorable for the Eagles, 31-6. What did Foles learn? Completing 21 of 46 passes, 204 yards, 2 interceptions. Let's take a look at each and every one of his dropbacks from Sunday's game at FedEx Field. All right, the Eagles starting out early here, Adam Kaplan, and immediately looking for the deep ball,
yes,
but
sir.
Pressure, the name of the game from the very start of the contest.
And I like that he got rid of the football. You see here, that was actually a good throw. That was in Celek's
hands. The ball got through without being tipped. Brent Celek should have caught that
pass. I know
pass.
It was through traffic. He's got to catch that football. I like that Foles was able to throw on the run. That's a good trait that he has here. Checks it down well. Doesn't get as many yards as you'd like, but he got a little bit of run after the catch. Got the ball out of his hands, and that you love. Slot screen, that's something they've been doing lately. Get the ball out of the quarterback's hands. I like that. I like this little play here to Havili on the swing pass. And then the shovel pass, which they've tried. Didn't get the desired result.
All right, let's take a look at his feet. Let's take a look at he's obviously anticipating a heavy pass rush. The edict, get the football out of your hands.
Every pass is within 5 yards. I mean,
and so he's getting used to the speed of the game. I think that's part of it here. A screen that really could have gone for some big.
Yeah, he rushed himself.
Didn't like the way he
that was a terrible throw. He turned his body in the face of pressure. There was his feet set.
Yeah, a lot of pressure there. Yeah. Bad throw. Bad route combination, I thought, as well. Too many receivers. Too many defenders.
That was a little bit off, but Johnson's got to make a little bit of an effort, Dave.
And then let's take a look. He's got some time here. Steps up in the pocket. Maybe his best throw of the day. Makes the throw to Riley Cooper. Big play for the Eagles.
Went for his progressions. Did a great job of throwing a little bit on the move. I like that.
And again, more time here, and he makes a play.
Another great
Clay throw. Harbor has to hold on to that football. Big hit, though, but still. And here's the screen that goes for big yards. Good block downfield from Riley Cooper, but nice setup from Nick Foles.
And he let the pressure get down the field, which is the exact way that you set up the pressure, just like he did again. And this is, I mean, he looked really polished early on. You were waiting for them to score.
Right. And again, screen, everything.
Right.
Didn't like this call. It was second and short. Didn't go anywhere.
It was killed. It was absolutely, they saw it coming. They beat it.
And now, what I didn't like this throw.
I don't know where.
I thought he had more time in the pocket to set up and throw the football.
Because I could not see where he was going here.
I didn't see an open receiver necessarily. There's a play that needed to be made. As
threw across his body, and they never saw the blitzer on the quarter cat blitz. That was 26, Josh Wilson.
And here's Foles looking to his left, incomplete throw.
Not a great throw there. He didn't step into it.
Gets a screen. The Redskins all over this offense at this point. We're looking at Foles. He steps up.
I love that throw. That was big time.
Nice throw here. Probably would have gained big yards if DeMarcus Johnson holds his feet a little bit.
Yep.
Another nice throw there that Celek could not hold on to.
Yes, another bad drop.
On a third down play. Play action. Foles throws. Now the wind blowing a little bit that way, so out of bounds.
Tough throw. Under pressure. Yep.
And you like the way he's standing up strong here. Nice throw there from Nick Foles. Didn't mind that throw at all.
No. So far, so good.
And then again, throwing the ball nicely here underneath. For LeSean McCoy, a drive that ends up for the Eagles.
Nothing downfield is the only thing that I didn't understand. Then he didn't see that. I mean, it's hard. Kerrigan stripped him. There's not much you can do about that.
Looks right, looks left, throws back out of the reach of Jeremy Maclin there.
He went through his progressions. I like that.
Sees the pressure and takes the sack. Run a nice stunt there, the Redskins did. Now it's starting to get a little bit frenetic for the
inaccurate.
Eagles.
It was not. Ball's got to be more on time.
24-6, fourth quarter. Eagles just getting so much pressure. The Redskins teeing
pressure. This
off.
This is not his fault here.
But now you want to look at his feet. Yeah, look at his feet. They're moving around a lot.
And he throws it backwards.
Yeah, that's just a ridiculous throw.
That's a lateral. You can't do that.
Yeah. But hustles over and gets the play, gets the ball. Mm-hmm. They called it an incomplete pass, which was ridiculous. Nice throw right there. Just got to make that throw, get that over the defensive back.
Exactly. He's still got to step
in. I'm just looking at his feet. Yeah. And in that no chance there, I'm looking at his feet there. That's just
kind of
a little shovel pass,
a
little improvisation there.
Right.
And LeSean McCoy unable to get the first down. Here he's got a little bit of time to throw and probably threw it just a little bit early.
And Maclin thought he was interfered with, of course.
And there's a play there. That was another nice throw under pressure.
And he turned his body a little bit. That's why the ball didn't come out right.
And a throw down the left side, right side rather, incomplete. Again, safety over the top against DeSean Jackson. Sets up nicely in the pocket. Bad throw there, maybe his worst of the game.
He did not step into the throw.
3 minutes left, throws the ball wide open, Brent Celek. Yep. Who again gets hit hard?
Ball's out. Gets it to Riley Cooper, who actually had a very good game. That's something we should see going forward. He ought to play more. This is just a little bit off. Less, a little bit off.
Watch the feet. Yep. Moving around, buying some time, and throws it away.
Now there were a couple times you can't see this year. That was
actually
a nice play.
It was a nice play. He got it first down.
There were a couple times where I thought he moved a little bit when he didn't need to. That was a tough play. There was no way that would be completed.
Again, blitzing off the edge.
Yep.
All day long, the crossing route. And what we saw, we saw one pass tipped at the line of scrimmage, I think. Maybe two. One was the screen.
That was a good throw, but it still needed to be away from Cooper's body.
And that ball tipped right there. That's the second tip of the day. So Nick Foles, 21 of 46 on the day, a losing effort. And it ends in inglorious fashion as the Eagles are just too much pressure from the Washington Redskins. Dropped passes. Lots of mistakes. And that is a look at Nick Foles in his first start in the NFL.
The rush is coming. He's being chased. He's being sacked. D'Amico Ryans has him. Flacco takes the snap. He's back. He's looking. He fires. And it's intercepted. It's intercepted by the Eagles. And it's picked off by D'Amico Ryans. They say he's down on contact. But D'Amico Ryans with the pick.
Hey, it's D'Amico Ryans. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Yo, did we just score? Where are you, man?
Hey, Greg. I had to sell my seats because I got this thing that came up.
Hey, Doug.
We bought your seats, Doug.
Yay. Yay.
Yeah, Greg Jennings is in our lap.
I wish Greg Jennings was in my lap.
Doug, I told you we just scored. Why aren't you smiling?
I am smiling.
Show up, Jimmy.
There's a big Dougie smile. That's my guy.
The ACL is one of four major ligaments around the knee. It stabilizes the knee during cutting, pivoting, and jumping activities. Most often, ACL tears are non-contact injuries and occur when quickly changing directions or landing from a jump. Usually, ACL reconstruction is required to allow the athlete to return to their previous level of competition. If you sustained a knee injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Hi, I'm Tammy Reed, and we are the Eagles Women's Association. In the Delaware Valley, there are more than 900,000 people at risk of food insecurity. You can help us fight hunger by joining us and the Philadelphia Eagles for our annual food drive benefiting Philabundance. This year's collection is scheduled for Monday, November 26th, when the Eagles take on the Carolina Panthers. Bring your non-perishable foods to the Panthers game and drop them in collection bins on your way into the stadium. If we all do our part, we can all make a difference in the fight against hunger.
We welcome you back. Dave Spadaro, Adam Kaplan. Let's get to the telephones, 215-339-6709. Let's get your Twitter responses, too, to our hot topic question. Biggest need for the Philadelphia Eagles. Hit us with a tweet, hashtag Eagles Live. All right, Phil in Maryland joins us. Hi, Phil.
Hey, what's going on, Dave, Cap? How y'all doing?
Oh, happy Thanksgiving, Phil.
You too. Hey, real quick on the Thanksgiving, I have a very special recipe that I'm eating this year.
Uh-oh.
What's that?
Pulled barbecue Carolina Panther.
Oh, baby!
Yeah, baby. Yeah. My mouth is tingling already. Yeah. It's Mr. Voice of Optimism here.
Thank you.
I was pretty beat, basically, down on Sunday. And that started in the first quarter. But you know what? I'm back to my... My blood's flowing. I had the IVs pumping the green into it. So I'm back on top talking to you guys. My reason for being on Twitter.
You're a true
way.
Fan. You're a true fan.
That. I want to talk about the hot topic real quick, if
yes,
I could.
Yes, sure.
Heart. Need a little bit more heart going right now. It's depressing. 6-game losing streak. You know, nothing's clicking right now in all three phases of the Florida football team. I don't know what we need, but I will say this. Going into next year, I don't want to see nothing changed besides our execution. And, you know, I want to see the exact same thing we have this year because, like I said previously, this is my favorite Eagles team of many years. And this is dating back to the Cunningham days.
I will just say that when you say heart, I mean, you wanted to be more physical. You wanted to be more... Scrappy.
I want to see the emotion.
You know what, Robert? What's interesting about that is, or Phil, I'm sorry. What's interesting about when I think back to the game against the Baltimore Ravens?
I knew you were going
to
bring it.
Yes.
It was a dirty, physical, nasty, just knockdown game, right?
Just smash mouth.
Where's
just
that team going?
Punch you in the face. Just get it in.
Where is that?
I want to see what we did to Flacco. I want to see us do it to Cam Newton because, honestly, I can't stand Cam Newton. I'm sorry. I got my own personal reasons. But Carolina, I'm going into this game like a divisional game. This is how I'm taking this game. Lincoln Financial Field, national stage. It's time for these birds.
The only game Monday night,
Phil. Not a joke this
it's
year.
The only game Monday night. National
I'm
stage.
To, they need
you
to
got
dismantle
pride,
them.
You come out
to
with some
fire.
With
well, I mean, would you say that the Chicago Bears played with pride last night?
They're on the road. Long flight. They didn't even show up.
Wait.
They got smoked.
So it doesn't matter if you're on the road.
They got smoked.
It's not that long a flight.
The starting quarterback
Chicago
didn't play.
Did they play with heart or not?
They didn't play well.
Did they play with heart?
They sure didn't look like it.
Okay.
But they're also 7-3. But they're also They're also 7-3.
I know.
This is one of the few games they didn't play well this season.
If the let me tell you something.
They haven't lost six in a row.
If they don't play hard and play well on Monday night, I mean, just I don't even want to come in here on Tuesday. I'll crawl under a rock. I will be so
embarrassed. How did you feel coming into your office on Monday?
Hey, we need
disgusted.
You there, Dave.
I get disgusted by losses. I'm disgusted by losses.
Too, did this one?
I'll accept it if you play hard. The other team's better than you, and I don't think the Redskins are better than the Eagles. I think they're a bad football team too.
Yep.
With a bad offense.
It was pretty bad to watch our boys go into Landover when we had such success against the Redskins.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, I just think of the past couple of years, we just go in and we own Landover.
They
got the better of us. Obviously, we didn't show up as I expected us to for a divisional given circumstances. But I love to see them get back to just that old feeling, that heart that they had, and the passion and the smash mouth. I want teams
you
to
have
go
to,
dirty.
You have to be
that as a compliment.
Yeah. Hey, Phil, give me a prediction for the game.
All right, we're going to go into story 28-7 Birds, baby. Let's go.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, Phil. Love it. Tell me what you see when you watch that play.
Osmo had leverage on the outside, which he forces the play inside. He obviously thought he had safety help. He didn't have it.
Nate Allen steps up.
We've seen this before with this team, especially this season. Their coverage responsibilities. Guys are getting mixed up.
Why?
You'd have to ask them.
Lack of communication?
We saw it last year. They were trying to learn the new scheme. This happens, seems to be every other week, there's a coverage breakdown that gives up a big play. Sometimes it's a touchdown, sometimes it's not. And it seems to be a leverage play when the corner thinks he's got help but he doesn't have it. And that's communication, and that's also understanding or not understanding what your responsibilities are. That can't happen. It's funny, when you examine the Eagles' stats as a defense, not too bad. They seem to give up a big player to every
stats.
Game, but they give up. Where's the mouth part of this game?
I don't give a care. I don't. You know, stats mean what I'm looking at for the defense is points allowed, takeaways which are non-existent, negative plays which are non-existent.
Those stats are important.
Yeah, those are the only ones that matter. Yards, I don't care about.
Field position.
Offensive yards are hollow.
Yep, because you're playing from behind a lot.
Efficiency
anyway.
Per drive, point efficiency per drive. I like that stat. All right, let's go to Sean in Florida. Hi, Sean.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
Hi. Happy Thanksgiving, Sean.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. And
Thank you.
You too, Adam.
Thanks, man.
There's just so much stuff wrong with this team. It's really, I'm at a loss for words.
Where do you want to start?
And, yeah,
start
you know,
somewhere.
Like, I just don't understand anymore, like, all right, can we start with the defensive line? I don't know if anybody brought that up yet, but let's start with the defensive line. Do you guys think it's time to just completely cancel that wide nine technique?
Not with Jim Washburn here, you can't do it. That's what he coaches. I mean, and he's had success in his career coaching the wide nine. He is not going to change it. Now, he will modify it as he did Sunday against the Redskins. Eagles did a nice job for a large portion of that game. But would I like them to scrap the wide nine?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
See, yeah, because I heard one of you guys say that when you're using the wide nine, you can't really, like, blitz, like it defeats the purpose. So I think that provides an issue, along with these guys just being undisciplined, not making tackles when they're right there. I was so disturbed when I saw RG3 just laying in the backfield for, like, 15 seconds. He decides to run. Namdi's there, and another guy's there, and one trips over the other guy.
Yeah. Well, that was Michael Kendricks, who should have taken the outside leverage instead. You know, Namdi's coming rushing up the field and anticipating that Kendricks is going to go to the outside. He stayed inside. So, I know. I know. Mm-hmm. I know. I think Kendricks, right there, got to get off a block. But I thought he played the run pretty well. And I'd see him playing up in blitz packages in the box a lot, Adam, at the line of scrimmage. They're trying to get him into the backfield to make some plays.
Yeah, and I would.
You know what it is? Dave, honestly, Adam, tell me if you agree or not, but I don't think our cornerbacks are, like, a huge problem. Do you think it's just because the quarterback is having too much time and the pass rushers aren't getting there on a consistent basis?
I think it's a little bit of technique. I think it's somewhat of understanding what the responsibilities are. We've seen that from game to game. Mm-hmm. It's being more consistent. It's those two or three bad plays a game. You can't keep doing this. That's why I look at the numbers and go, this should not be happening, but it's those two or three bad plays. And they don't recover mentally. They keep making bad mistakes. Now, I want to get back to your point about the wide nine and scrapping it. You know, last year, I have news for you. When it wasn't working last year, they started double-A gap blitzing like crazy late in the season, and that turned it around against Miami. Miami could not handle anything the Eagles did through the A-gaps. Mm-hmm. At times this season, they've tried it. Sometimes it's worked. Sometimes it hasn't. It clearly is not working like it did last year. I wouldn't say they scrapped the wide nine. There will be times in the game that you can do it.
Would you say that, in retrospect,
as
Jeffrey Lurie suggested, fool's gold in those last four games, Miami couldn't handle it. Well, they couldn't handle anything offensively.
Yeah, but Dallas didn't. The other
And I agree with you because Romo was on the field and Eagles still
dominated.
It's
not even about winning. I'm talking about
Sanchez.
Defense. I'm just talking about the defense.
Well, I'm saying
did they get pressure? Yes.
Well, I'm saying, right.
And they scrapped the wide nine for part of those games.
Yeah.
That was his question. You're right.
But Jim Washburn's not going to say, okay, we're going to scrap it.
But if you want to get turnovers, you want to get sacks, you're going to blitz.
You have to, exactly.
Up the B gaps, like all the other teams do.
How much do you think the Eagles blitzed on Sunday against RG3?
You know, what I'm seeing is, like, they're not – our team is refusing to just change and switch it up a little bit, you know? Like, adapt to the situation. I mean – and then the receivers, the receivers. How are we not getting the receivers the ball? Like, are they just not getting open?
I don't see a lot of complex routes. I don't see
Why they're just not doing any
routes.
I don't
see a lot of complexity in this offense at all right now. I see a lot of just kind of run, clear out, throw it underneath, and then
trying to help the quarterback out because
you're not getting time.
As play callers, they're clearly not confident in the offensive line. I get it.
Oh, so it's all due to the offensive
line.
It's not all, but it's got to be.
It's definitely part of it.
Now,
well, the play call is shallow.
Jaws in that conference call made a good point talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that they've lost four starters in their offensive line.
Well, they're two starting guards.
They run the football a lot. They've got Josh Freeman, who's made really nice strides
this
year.
After a terrible season last year.
Yeah, he's been
great. I don't like the move with Dennis Kelly to right guard, was it?
He went from right guard to right tackle. Who would you like to see at right tackle?
Who was there last time?
Well, they had King Dunlap at right tackle against the Dallas Cowboys. He was struggled to put it mildly.
Oh, yeah, with the face mask and all that.
Moved him to the left side because he's better than Demetrius Bell at left side. Marginally, I think, at this point, you'd suggest after that game on Sunday. The Eagles gave up so much pressure. You can't keep moving guys around. I mean, it's never going to get better if you don't move
guys. But, like, are they moving that new offensive lineman that came in on the roster? Is Danny Watkins coming back onto the line this week?
I don't know. I would think he would be, but I thought he would play last week.
Yeah,
but during Friday, Friday looked like when Annie was saying, you know, we were all kind of surprised.
We knew he wasn't going to play.
Yeah, as soon as someone said – that was it for
Hey, Sean, give me a prediction for Monday night.
Oh, man. I'm going to probably just say 17-10.
All right, Sean. Thanks, man.
All right, Dave. All right, Adam.
Have a happy Thanksgiving to you and to yours, my man. Thank you for the call. Right. Hey, our Eagles Television Network weekend programming is a winner inside the season. Eagles game plan. Eagles Unscripted in the Eagles Green Zone. Here's the lineup. Make sure you catch them if you're in the Philadelphia area. Also, watch them online right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. The last time I had a man this close to me, it was Bradley Cooper.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And he stopped by the set of Unscripted and had a little chat with Scott Graham. Wonderful guy promoting his movie, which is called Silver Linings Playbook. It is a must-see for everyone. Comes out in earnest this week. And features the Eagles and the mindology of the Eagles fan very prominently.
When you start talking about your growing up here, Philly's is a place that kind of becomes a part of you, and you kind of take it along with you. I mean, this town loves its own going out, doing well, making it big and coming back again. I got to imagine that you feel that anytime you come back here.
Well, I feel like I don't come back because I live here. You know what I mean? I still have the house I grew up in, and I try to make sure that I stay here as much as I have a house in Los Angeles. So
how much are you here?
Well, I mean, I don't have much free time. So the downtime I do have, if it's on the East Coast, I'll come here, and if it's the West Coast, I'll go there. But I try to make movies here as much as I can. So luckily, I've been able to do two here in the past 3 years. And then we're trying to shoot this movie here in February, but it's hard to get a rebate now.
You want me to talk to somebody?
I wish you would, believe me. I went to Harrisburg and went to the governor's mansion trying to talk them into giving
us. So you know more people than I do.
I didn't know anybody. I just said, where do you go? You go to the governor's mansion.
When you got out here today, did it awaken any time when you were a kid, did you think that you were going to be an athlete?
I was blessed with the genetics of my father and mother, who were very coordinated. My father's a great athlete. So I was always coordinated, but I didn't have the mental toughness. My father used to always say this to me, you gotta want the ball. Bradley, you gotta want the ball more. And I was scared, and I just didn't have the confidence as a kid. I got that in college in intramural sports. I wish I had that mental toughness back when I was in, 14 to 16 to 17. So I love sports, a huge part of my life.
What was your best?
I'd say I'm probably best at tennis. I wish I would be best as a quarterback. I wish I played football, but that, yeah.
Concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Why spend your Sundays anywhere else than on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, where you'll see every touchdown, every bone-crushing hit, and every jaw-dropping play of the 2012 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and the post-game show presented by Rico, only on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Yo, we just scored. Where are you, man?
Hey, Greg. I had to sell my seats because I got this thing that came up.
Hey, Doug!
We bought your seats, Doug!
Yay! Yay!
Yeah, Greg Jennings is in our lap.
I wish Greg Jennings was in my lap.
Doug, I told you we just scored. Why aren't you smiling?
I am smiling.
Show up to me.
There's a big Dougie smile. That's my guy.
The parenting book said babies like being talked to before they're born. So, as a good parent, you told your little miracle about some other little miracles that happened once upon a time. When the guys in green miraculously saved the day, even though all seemed lost. And you did it because it's never too early to start believing.
I have never seen anything like this.
Hi, I'm Tammy Reed, and we are the Eagles Women's Association. In the Delaware Valley, there are more than 900,000 people at risk of food insecurity. You can help us fight hunger by joining us and the Philadelphia Eagles for our annual food drive benefiting Philabundance. This year's collection is scheduled for Monday, November 26th, when the Eagles take on the Carolina Panthers. Bring your non-perishable foods to the Panthers game and drop them in collection bins on your way into the stadium. If we all do our part, we can all make a difference in the fight against hunger.
What do you want to watch for the remainder of this 2012 Eagles season. Dave Spadaro, Adam Kaplan, it's time to talk about just that. And we begin at the quarterback position. Nick Foles, his first start on Sunday against the Washington Redskins, didn't go as planned. Good experience for him, Adam, 21 of 46. I say he starts on Monday night against Carolina. What can that second start mean for him?
Getting more confidence, getting a better feel for the speed of the game, which is a huge difference between college football and NFL football. Just continue his progression and also get the timing down with his receivers and tight ends.
All right. At the running back position, nice throw on the run there from Bryce Brown, or from Nick Foles. At the running back position, LeSean McCoy still bouncing back from that concussion suffered late in the Redskins game. So it would appear that there's a possibility that Bryce Brown will see some expanded duty. And what a story he is. Seventh round draft pick, played very little in his college days, Adam, but you see here the move to the outside. The man's got some talent.
He runs with really good leverage and pad level, uses his shoulders well, runs with good vision, good cutback ability, a little bit faster than I originally thought. The only issue for him is, you know, if McCoy doesn't play, how many carries could he handle? Could he handle 10, 15? Hard to say, but his pass protection has been much better. It's improved seemingly every week. Then we don't know about Chris Polk with his lingering toe injury. Then you've got Deion Lewis.
All righty, and then we go to the Eagles wide receivers. Where have they been? DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin combining for just 2 catches and 5 yards against the Redskins. Adam, looking ahead here, I mean, it is vital that the Eagles get these big playmakers making big plays.
I agree with you. And if they can protect, throw the ball downfield, get them more involved. Where is this deep passing game going? I have no idea, but I agree with you, Dave. Get them involved. Protect and start getting the ball downfield.
Well, we could talk about that all day, and let's see if it happens. But certainly a Pro Bowl player in DeSean Jackson and a first-round talent in Jeremy Maclin, two really good players who not used at all on Sunday. All right, defensive line, Fletcher Cox, first-round draft pick last April, stepping up 8 tackles against the Redskins. How good is he? And the rookie wall, Adam, a concern at all? I mean, what do you want to see the rest of the season from him?
No, I'd like them to move him around a little bit more. Maybe let him play a little bit at end, especially, I think, in early down, see if they can get some more pressure on the quarterback. But I think he's progressing. I don't think there's any question about it. They've been slanting the ends a little bit more of late to try to get a different look on the defensive line. But I think he's progressing. I think he's kind of what we thought he would be. He'll just continue to get better.
Also on the defensive line is a player who hasn't played, and it's a concern. How good is third-round draft pick Vinny Curry? We've only seen him in the preseason. Might he, in these final 6 games, get a chance to play football?
Yeah, I know from talking to players, they think he's working very hard, and he's earned the right to get on the field. But being active for game day is one thing. Playing is another, getting the rotation. Then, if you do, obviously, then you look at, well, who's not going to play? So that's always a concern for the coaches. But, boy, he's got long arms, tremendous Senior Bowl week, very good training camp. I thought he really showed me something. And you like a guy who's got a lot of energy and a lot of passion.
Left end or right end, Adam?
Boy, I don't think he's a power end. I think he's more of a rush guy. I think he's a guy who could get off the edge a little bit. I would play more at right end.
Okay. Linebacker Michael Kendricks walked right into the starting lineup after the draft and has not disappointed. Has certainly had his ups and downs, but you see here the ability to get to the edge, make the tackles, read correctly, physical player. Michael Kendricks, Adam Kaplan, to me, is somebody you build on in this Eagles defense.
You do, and they change his responsibilities quite often. He's not just a strong side linebacker who's going to cover tight ends. They rush him. They also have him in the box as an add-in defender against the run. I still want to see him be more of a blitzer like he was in college at Cowboy. He was tremendous, so I'd like to see that going forward.
All right, the last thing that I am looking for of many things, but the defensive communication, too many breakdowns this season. Can the Eagles pull it all together here in these last 6 games and limit the big plays down the field?
They can because they see the tape. They see it Monday morning. It's embarrassing for a player to see this, to think you have help and it's not there. They've got to get on the same page. And trust me, going forward, teams see this on tape and they're going to take advantage of it until they stop it.
All right, there we go. 3-7 record for the Eagles. Still a lot of football left. A lot of things to take a look at the remainder of this 2012 season.
Download the Eagles mobile app for the latest news, videos, stats, and more. Available now for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry devices. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/mobile for more.
You know, Ronnie, folks who save hundreds of dollars by switching to Geico sure are happy.
And how happy are they, Jimmy?
Happier than Christopher Columbus with speedboats.
That's happy.
Get happy. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Can you feel that? Can you feel what's about to happen on this field, man? Respect is not given, it is earned, that dog. Whatever you got to drink, let me get that. They don't know what I hoard, man. They don't know what I hoard. And everything, give me what you got. Domination, snot bubbles, crazy eyes, whatever. Let's dominate this thing. All in on three. 1, 2, 3, all in.
Hey, Eagles fans, this is Brian Dawkins, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, the leading provider of orthopedic care in the region.
I'm Eagle safety Kirk Coleman. Fans in Pennsylvania can now drive the Eagles pride every day of the year with the new Eagles license plate. Each plate purchase helps the Eagles Youth Partnership support the kids in need throughout our region. Get yours today right here at PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hi, I'm Tammy Reed, and we are the Eagles Women's Association. In the Delaware Valley, there are more than 900,000 people at risk of food insecurity. You can help us fight hunger by joining us and the Philadelphia Eagles for our annual food drive benefiting Philabundance. This year's collection is scheduled for Monday, November 26th, when the Eagles take on the Carolina Panthers. Bring your non-perishable foods to the Panthers game and drop them in collection bins on your way into the stadium. If we all do our part, we can all make a difference in the fight against hunger.
Welcome back, Dave Spadaro, Adam Kaplan here. Who wins the game on Monday night, Adam?
Oh, man.
Don't wake me up, up, up.
Do we have
up.
A tie? I've never called a tie in my life.
Come on. Eagles are going to win this game.
You think?
Yep.
Why? I want an answer. I want an answer.
I think the Eagles will play better with Nick Foles in his second start, because I believe he'll start.
Okay.
I think the defense, you know, the interesting thing about the Carolina Panthers, they have all these, they don't run the football.
At all. They make zero commitment. They have two high-priced running backs.
I just don't think Cam Newton is that elusive, you know, down the field guy.
They're too in love with his arm. They have no balance in offense. They have really no concept of how you have an offense and you structure. I don't know. Rob Gronkowski is a really talented offensive coordinator. I don't know what has happened to him this season. I've been a supporter of his, but he's not doing a very good job.
I think Sean McDermott, defensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers, knows what Andy Reid wants to do, what Marty Morningwig wants to do. That's
he's doing a good job. Sean's doing a very good job.
Though, the Carolina Panthers giving up some big points late in the game.
They did.
And they've done that quite a bit this year.
They did, but for the most part, they play with good discipline. Luke Kuechly is tremendous. They've moved from the weak side to middle linebacker.
They get good pressure from the front. They just don't have the horses.
No, remember, they lost Chris Gamble, their starting corner. He's very physical. Yeah. Beeson's out for the season. Gamble's out for the season. Thomas Davis is playing on a surgically repaired knee that's been repaired several times. He's doing a decent job coming back, but they don't blitz a lot. They get a lot of four-man pressure. Charles Johnson is really good at DN. So This is an interesting game. I look forward to seeing Cam Newton. There's absolutely plenty to see in this game. I want to see these two young quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
I want to hear from Jose in Georgia, who joins us on Eagles Live. Hi, Jose.
Hey, what's up, Dave? What's up, Adam?
Happy Thanksgiving, Jose.
Happy Thanksgiving to y'all. And it's hard to be an Eagles fan right now, but I guess this is what part of being an Eagles fan is about. But we were expecting a 6-game losing streak like this. It's tough, but next year it has to be. It's going to be a change. It has to be a change. And next year, it's inevitable because, you know, Lurie said it was 8-8, and right now it's probably going to be worse than that. It's probably going to be worse than. I'm not sure I've ever seen a football team be just not wanting to play well.
They do want to play well. They do. First of all, Jose, it's very hard to play. It's hard to win in the NFL. I think we are reminded during these times how hard it is to win in the NFL. And I think there's something to be said for that. And the reason I say that, Jose, is that when something goes bad, it just kind of snowballs with this football team. You have to know how to reverse the momentum in a football game. And the Eagles haven't done that since the Giants game.
And I know, and all these, I know the offensive side, you know, the O-line and all that. I mean, the O-line, you have to do a better job in that and everything. But I had a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think that if Juan Castillo, I'm not trying to go back there, but do you think if Juan Castillo was still there, would it be a better defensive game?
Yes.
Okay.
We have continuity. Yeah. I mean,
you have continuity.
Yeah, yeah. That's why.
I mean, to me, the change has brought about some confusion and miscommunication.
I think it's fair to say it. I think it's
just like last year. So I felt like when they did the change, they went right back to last year. They went right back to step back instead of taking a step forward, and they all lost their. The defensive side of what they had, the assignments, everything changes, and that can't happen in the middle of the season or in the beginning of the season. It's just why just step Juan down? But I mean, that's over and done with. But
can't look back, Jose. It's not gonna change.
Yeah, but you know, whatever. Man, hopefully the Eagles. I'm still optimistic for them, but I'm not sure about this game. I hope they win, but I can't say they will. But hopefully they'll do a good job.
Give me a prediction.
24-21.
Okay.
Eagles.
All right, Jose. Thanks, brother. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Early in the season, Adam, it was like 35-17, 28-17, 31-14.
Right.
The points the Eagles have scored here in this year, and really at times last year.
You can just put the opponent to the side now. It's not even about the opponent anymore. It's about executing a play.
Yeah.
It's about the line blocking, give the quarterback enough time. It's about the quarterback seeing what's in front of him, getting rid of the football. It's about running the ball with more authority. It's calling more run plays at certain times. It's not the total number. There's so many different things that make up a losing streak. It's not just one thing. It's not a cliche. It's special teams coverage. It's special teams returns. It's blown coverage. It's getting pressure on the quarterback. It's consistently making tackles when they're there to be made, a la the Washington game. How many times did they get next to RG3? I understand he's elusive and all that. Make a play. And take a better angle.
Yeah.
You know? It was tough to see that game. We were watching.
Well, I think what fans are bothered by most, perhaps, with the defense is it is a lot of missed tackles, and it speaks of a finesse, quote-unquote, defense rather than
being aggressive,
fast, physical, gang tackling, urgent defense. Dan in California joins us. Hi, Dan.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Okay. Happy Thanksgiving, Dan.
Likewise to you.
That's
guys.
My answer.
Well, how do you guys see this right? The situation here, standing at 3-7.
I see it as a bad situation.
Yeah.
Didn't expect it. That's.
I see it as a situation. Let's go out and get a win on Monday night, and then who knows? But I'm not gonna talk about playoffs or reeling off 6 wins. It's just one step at a time. Just get a win on Monday.
Yeah, because I'll tell you this: Monday is also my birthday, and
hey, happy birthday.
The best gift would be a win against Carolina.
Yeah. Well, hey,
I'll
listen.
Say that now.
I mean, the Eagles should beat the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers are 2-8.
Yeah. And I'll say it now. I think Cam Newton is the most overrated player in the NFL. I mean, sure, he had a great season last year, but he's just...
I think it's a little bit of a sophomore slump. I think teams have spent a whole offseason preparing for his mobility. And, yeah. I mean, I don't see the Panthers helping him by running the football
a lot. Dan, yeah. Dave just hit on it. He has not played at the level he did last year. There's no way to, you know, if you're watching, you can clearly see he's not quite as sharp, but they're not doing him any favors. They're still running the college offense. They're still running the read option. They shouldn't be running in this second season. He should be progressed enough. And when you run the football with those two running backs, you should have better balance. They're not getting better balance. It's not like they're behind all the time. They've blown too many leads. They play well for three quarters, then they lose it. They've had some mental breakdowns in coverage. Guys missing tackles. And then offensively, I don't understand the play calling. I mean, why? And this is the disconnect, and this is why the GM, Marty Herney, got fired. He makes a decision to re-sign Jonathan Stewart to a big deal. And he already, 2 years before that, signed D'Angelo Williams to a big deal. That must mean you're going to run the heck out of the football, right? No, the exact opposite. They fell in love with Cam Newton's arm. All they do is throw the football. They mix an occasional run in. Then they bench D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah.
Stupid D'Angelo Williams now is going to have to be cut after the season.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, you got a prediction for us?
It's going to be hard to come up with a prediction after the last few weeks, but I'll say 21-14 Eagles.
Okay. Okay. Dan, happy birthday Monday night. All right, my man. Be young. Be strong, my friend. All right, we've got some hot topic responses for you. The question is, what is the team's biggest need? You hit us with a bunch of tweets. With hashtag Eagles Live, let's take a look at some of those responses. Big TD Ottawa says, Eagles have way too many needs to rattle off in 140 characters. A time machine would be the only useful thing now. At Eagles Freak 2006 says, I think we need Peters back. Okay, agreed with that. Should he get some MVP votes this year?
It was like Peyton Manning should have been the MVP last year for the Colts.
Yeah. At Cleocton, Virginia, VA. Win! Please. At Yonose underscore ski. Height at wide receiver. At least one big guy. Riley Cooper's a decent-sized guy. Adam, what do you think about that? Are the Eagles too small wide receiver upon further review?
Riley Cooper does give you something. You saw the fade a couple weeks ago, Dave. A great throw by Vic. It's something that's been like a lost art for this football team. And actually, quite frankly, it's a lost art in the NFL. Not enough fades. But it wouldn't be – and Riley Cooper could run a little bit. It wouldn't be a bad thing to get him more involved. I think he's earned it, Dave.
Okay. At underscore PSU underscore five underscore is underscore alive. They need to use more creative formations to get the run game going, and they need their offensive line back. I don't know about creative formations, but certainly need to have some sort of identity in the run game. This team does not have that.
Mm-hmm.
LeSean McCoy, 17 rushing touchdowns last year. He ain't coming close to that this year.
No.
Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We go now to Florida and talk to Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hello, Dave. This is Eric.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. I just want to voice my opinion on the offensive side and the defensive side.
Okay.
And starting from the defensive side, I just think the safeties are just not playing. Their safeties are not playing, and Nnamdi Osmo is getting forced every game.
I think we are watching so much of Nnamdi, and how about this? I think everybody in the secondary is getting beaten.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Everybody. I'm disappointed. From where Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie was in the preseason and training, I am so disappointed in his play.
And early in the season.
Got him to a good start. Yeah, where Brandon Boykin was early in the season to where he is now, very disappointing. Where Nnamdi Osmo was prior to the Eagles signing him, where I thought he would be, where I thought he was against Calvin Johnson for three quarters, where he is now. So disappointed. Same with the safeties. Kurt and with Nate, same thing.
I think our offense is too predictable, way too predictable, way too predictable. Like, we do the same thing every game, like a play action, the first play, and deep to DeSean Jackson. The thing isn't working. Defense around the NFL are way too smart. They know us way too good. I think we just need a clean start.
Well, we can't get a clean start right now. There's six games left in the regular season. I mean,
after the season.
Well, I mean, Eric, I know where Eagles fans' minds are, and I appreciate that, and I – understand it, but I got six games left here to talk about. I'm kind of trying to focus on right now. I'm not going to spend 6 weeks talking about next year. I'll talk about next year
plenty of time
when next year comes. Yeah. Can you give us a prediction for Monday night?
Monday night, I say good 28-10. A Carolina win. You can't get nothing on offense.
You're not supposed to pick the Panthers. You're supposed to pick the Eagles.
I love the Eagles, but I'm an honest man. Like, I see what I see.
I'm not asking for honesty. I'm asking for an Eagles pick. Give me an Eagles pick.
Eagles pick. All right, 10-7 Eagles.
Very good, Eric.
Good job, Eric. Thank you, man.
You get it?
Oh, man. Yeah, I want an Eagles pick. Either. Yeah.
It's a win.
A win is a win is a win.
Yes.
We want to thank you for joining us today on Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro, Adam Kaplan. We're back tomorrow at noon. And then it's Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Same to you, sir.
And we'll see you later in the week, perhaps Friday. You'll come around?
Maybe Saturday.
Maybe
Saturday.
Are
you guys on the air Saturday?
Absolutely. What? Absolutely.
I'll be out and about. I may pop in for
absolutely.
A little while. Who's going to be in the soiree?
Absolutely. Actually, we'd love to have you Saturday because there's probably going to be about five people watching. And
hey, 10 because I'm going to tweet it out.
Yeah. Well, thank you. You tweet?
Never. Only when you tell me to. You're my boss.
Adam, let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Who's going to win the game on Monday night?
I can't pick until Saturday.
Okay, well, then we'll see.
I need
see
to watch more of Carolina.
Then we'll see you Saturday.
Or maybe I'll call in with my big 7-5 ace head superimposed.
Nicely done. Adam Kaplan, thank you for joining us here. And thank you for coming by our Xfinity studio today in PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Eagles Live returns tomorrow at noon. Make sure you're with us then. Everyone have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
He played the maid, baby. Let's go.